Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and our guest is Gerard Bolsters from Cary, North Carolina. Gerard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. It's a pleasure and honor to join you on the show today. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you've got a long history with us, and you've got quite a story. So let's start with way back when you were working for corporate America. Explain to everybody what you did for a living and how strange it is that you ended up in real estate from that position.
Sure, Del. I started my career after graduating college working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I was a middleman between our floor brokers and our institutional trading desk. So it was very hectic, high-paced environment on the phones all day, relaying information, monitoring order flow. It was just wild. I worked at the same company for about 8 years or so. And at that time, I noticed how the business became more paperless and electronic. And there were tons of firms that were merging and putting the middlemen out of business. And I became a victim of a layoff in 2008. Later in that year, I picked up work for an electronic trading company that had their own trading platform that they developed, and caught on with them, working in both in support, doing customer service for their algorithmic trading flow and technical support. Worked with that company for 8 years or so, but what I noticed is that I wasn't really, even though my production was high, I wasn't getting the results I wanted in terms of financial stability. And I was also commuting 3 hours a day, from a train from Long Island to New York City, back to Long Island. So my return on time was really not that great. And, after all my expenses were paid off, there's really not much left, at the end of the month for, just fun money. I was living for the weekends and it was difficult. I was kind of just scraping by, even though I was saving my entire life. And the model wasn't working. So I was looking for ways to improve that model. My wife and I sat down in 2016. We talked about where can we move to or look for a place that can solve this problem, lower cost of living, higher quality of life. We settled on Cary, North Carolina, where property taxes are very low. The climate is way better. Commute time, if I were to go back to work, was 1 hour a day versus 3 hours a day. We've got some prestigious universities here like NC State, Duke, UNC Chapel Hill. I wanted to provide a better future for my family, and this was the place we settled on. And really happy living here, and really happy that I found Lifestyles soon after I moved in 2017 and have been investing in real estate ever since.
It's interesting to me. You think of a trader, and help us out here a little bit, then we'll get into your real estate stuff. But as a trader, do you trade your own money, too, when you're up there trading everybody else's money?
You can trade your own money, but there's a lot of restrictions if you want to trade your own money and trading through the firm that you work for. When I say restrictions, 30-day holding period. I mean, how do you make money if there's big swings in volatility in the stock? If, you buy a stock, it's going down, and you try to get out. Like, forget about it. There's no exceptions. And on top of that, when I worked on the floor of NYSE back in the 2000s, the commissions were just astronomical, Del. I mean, to buy, a few hundred shares or a few thousand shares of a stock, you're paying commissions of like $200, $300. Now you can go online and it's a zero commission. So I've seen how that industry changed.
Wow. It's interesting. What's interesting to me is that, the average person out there thinks of Wall Street and thinks this is where the real money's made. And you're saying, hey, this is a very, very hectic job, a lot of stress, not the quality of lifestyle, and you moved on. Now, when you moved on, you went to that electronic training firm, you went to Cary. That was a move. That was way before you really became a real estate investor. That was just you coming to the same conclusion I came to, which was it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Do you agree? The life's just too short for all that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and when I was still working at that electronic trading company, a good friend of mine had introduced me to a few real estate investing podcasts, your podcast, and, you know, I started reading some real estate investing books. That's how I spent a lot of my commuting time, getting going, learning about this, and I actually did buy a rent house while I was still working. That's how I got started late in 2016, and then really ramped things up after joining Lifestyles.
Now, you bought the house before you joined Lifestyles, did you not?
I did. It was through a turnkey provider, and you know, I didn't have any experience or much knowledge, but I did form relationships, and because I was working, I just wanted to have something that would produce a little bit of cash flow. Maybe it was about $200 a month, but it was something, and it was a start.
Right. I understand. My first house was $220 a month cash flow. That was, it seemed like to me, that was nothing else you ever invested in. It actually gave you a check every month. That was pretty good in my mind. So you came to the two-day, or where did you take the two-day at, by the way?
Yeah, I took the two-day in Atlanta, and this was within a month after moving to Cary. JB was the presenter for that two-day, and, you know, for me, it was an open road. You know, I had no job. You know, I'd like the listeners to know that when I left New York, moved to North Carolina in 2017, I could not take my W-2 job with me. You know, the company would not allow me to work remotely. So we cut ties, and I was basically living off, you know, the proceeds from the sale of my house in New York. Wasn't sure what the next move was going to be, but I knew I wanted to look into real estate investing or buying a franchise. So the first thing I did was go down to Atlanta, soaked in all the information from the two-day that JB presented, and man, day two was just unbelievable with the multifamily training. This was right up my alley because A, I had no job, and B, I learned that the income from the business is what qualifies a borrower for a loan. I didn't need to show W-2 income to get this loan anymore. So for me, you know, I started, you know, all these light bulbs started going off. I had all this money saved in IRAs, 401ks. You know, I was ready to really like get moving and start pulling that out and get ready to invest it.
So your light bulb moment was the second day, the multifamily. What were the biggest light bulb moments for you where you go, that's it, that's the point I needed to get this thing going?
There were a few. One of them certainly was forcing appreciation in multifamily. When you can increase income divided by, you know, market correct cap rate, you're able to increase the value. And then, man, I mean, the world's your oyster. You could do cash out refinance tax-free, you sell, what have you. But also, return on net worth concept was a big one for me because, you know, when I add up all my passive income, which wasn't much at the time, maybe a few, you know, dividends from stock investment, and then divide that by my net worth, it was super low. And it wasn't going to get me through, you know, the next 30 or 40 years.
Just wanted to bring that point up. I have forgot we even taught that in the seminar. And I forgot about that return on net worth calculation. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? 1 or 2% return at the most?
Yeah, I think that, you know, most people, it's talked about in the seminar, are making less than 1% passive income on their net worth. And I couldn't wait to get going, just deploying the retirement savings that I had. And at one point, I think I was north of 5 or 6% return on net worth because all of my capital was invested in income producing real estate, and I pretty much had nothing in the bank. So I was really hustling hard to make my money work for me and increase my passive streams of income.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see it happen right before your eyes too. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's go into all the stuff that you've bought, because you've done so much. We've got a lot to cover. We want to make sure everybody gets a piece of it. So with me here today is Gerard Bolster out of Cary, North Carolina. I've never been to Cary, but I've heard a lot of people say North Carolina is beautiful, and he went there because of the quality of life. So if you just keep in mind, it's not the money, it's a lifestyle. We'll be right back.
other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Radio Show. It's just today I'm having a hard time. The lips don't work right for some reason. Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Here on Tell Del Tuesday, we have Gerard Bolster out of Cary, North Carolina with us. And Gerard has done a lot of things. He's got two IRO apartments, meaning independently owns two apartment complexes himself. He's also in a bunch of multifamily deals as a passive, I guess 11 multifamily deals. And he's done about eight houses and really a conglomerate of all different kinds of things, which makes it, Gerard, hard for me to figure out how to walk you through this process, because I was looking at the resume on this, and you kind of just did them all the first year. It's kind of just, you know, you're all over the place. Tell me, how did you approach this when you came out of the two-day and decided to start buying stuff? Sounds like you're a kid in a candy shop. You're buying everything you can see.
You're right, Del. I call it an investing spree. You know, like some people go on a shopping spree. I went on totally on an investing spree here. And I had this game plan to withdraw 100% of my capital in my retirement accounts from late 2017 and early 2018 to, and 2019. So what I did, even though the goal was to buy an IRO deal as the first one, it didn't work out that way because I wasn't finding the right deal, even though I was looking. And I had a relationship, like I had mentioned previously, with a turnkey provider in Memphis, Tennessee. So I bought three single-family properties there early in 2018, and I had to buy them cash because I wouldn't qualify for the loan without a W-2. So I bought these homes. They were rather cheap, between like $60,000 and $80,000. And the goal was to replace earned income. So I got involved, bought those houses, cash flowing total between the three of them about $1,600 a month. And then a couple months after those purchases, I found a nice 16-unit IRO deal here in North Carolina in Asheboro. And that was my fourth investment of the year. And I also got into four passive deals that same year. So eight deals in 1 year. That's why I like to call it an investing spree. It was a lot of fun, you know, knowing that I was starting to build up my passive income streams and seeing the math work. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time, but I was planting those seeds. And now those seeds have really, you know, blossomed.
I'll tell you, it's interesting. When you get into something and you get into that aggressively, I was talking about this yesterday on the radio show I did yesterday, in fact. It's where you are so aggressively attacking something that you're just absorbing information from everywhere and just it starts to compound itself. Let's talk for a second here about the IRO deal. Take us through that one.
The IRO deal is 16 units. There are four plexes on this property. Bought it for just over $500,000 June of 2018. And what I liked about the deal was that it was fully occupied, but rents were below market. There was a lot of deferred maintenance on the property, but I saw it as an opportunity in a tertiary market to really add value, take care of problems at the property, and push rents. I'm not going to say it was easy. There was a lot of work that had to be done to change the resident base and to push those rents. But if you get into the numbers, these are all two-bed, one-bath apartments. Average rent on takeover is $480. And as of today, those rents are now $735 on average per unit, which is a 53% increase.
That's great. You know, I started with the same kind of stuff, Gerard. It's exactly the kind of stuff I started, duplexes and fourplexes and little groups like that. And they're a great little beginner project. Do you still have these? I assume you do, don't you?
The multifamily, this one I do, and it's under contract to sell right now. And the numbers might really blow your mind. The annual cash flow on the property has been about 10% owning the property.
Gerard, did you have debt on this property?
There's debt on this property. I used a small bank that was able to service the loan on this deal. Yeah, the initial, you know, back in 2018, interest rates were higher. So my interest rate was above 6%, and I was on a 20-year AM. So I was able to improve that loan, do a cash-out refinance just a little over a year ago, pull out 100% of what I put into the deal. So pulled out about $250,000 tax-free and still own the deal, and with still cash flowing on the deal, was able to get my rate down to the mid-4s. And with the property under contract now, I'm selling for 3 times what I purchased the property for, which is just unbelievable. You know, I followed the roadmap, and it's going to reap huge rewards for my first deal.
Let's do a little math with this. You bought it for $500,000?
Yeah. $528,000.
And now you're selling it for $1.5 million? I assume that's 3 times as much?
Yes.
So you had how much in it, $250,000?
You know, I put down $135,000, and I put in about, that was the down payment, and the cap, you know, because there was a lot of deferred maintenance, capital improvements were about $165,000, so ballpark $300,000 all into the deal.
Okay, so you got $300,000 in it, and you bought it for $500,000, and you put $100,000 in it, so you got $600,000, $100,000 rehab, so you got $600,000 in it, is your base value. You're selling for $1.5 million, so that's a $900,000 gain, if I'm doing this right, minus costs, on a $300,000 investment. That's a 300% capital gain. How long was this?
Yeah, somewhere, I think it was around 360 or 370, just put ballpark. You're right on, Dell. I mean, tertiary market, small apartment complex, and it's just really reaping great rewards now. Really excited about it because I can't wait to take those proceeds and buy something, you know, an apartment complex larger in size and larger in cash flow.
It just blows my mind because I was reading in here also that you've doubled your net worth since you started, and you're looking to double it again. And I guess people just don't realize that people make a 300% gain. That's the only way you're ever going to get rich. And, you know, my three rules, one of them is you can't get rich slow. You can't get rich slow at 10% return. You got to have that 300% return gain to get you rich. And that's just an incredible deal. So you're only making 10% cash flow on it, you say?
On average, per year, making 10% cash flow. I think over the life of the deal, it's been just over $100,000 of cash flow.
Okay. Now, that's not bad either. So we add that to the 300, and you got 310% return. Not bad. How much are you going to walk away with as you come away from this?
Approximately $750,000.
Does that include the $250,000 you pulled out on the refi?
Yeah, this is separate. This is just the transaction on when we close. The settlement is going to show net proceeds of $750,000. So it's separate from the refinance.
So you basically, you put in $300,000 and walked away with $1 million.
That's right. It's just unbelievable. I cannot believe this. But the math works.
With that, we've got to take a short break on that one, Gerard. We'll be right back with Gerard Bolster and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought 3 brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have 3 of her inherited properties and then 3 properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into 3, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today with me here on Tell Del Tuesday is Gerard Bolster out of Cary, North Carolina. Gerard just got done explaining to us in the last segment about how he made over a 300% rate of return on the first apartment complex that he bought. And he bought into also a bunch of passive investments, apartment complexes, and did some single family houses. Gerard, let's go ahead and talk about the second apartment complex you did. The first one was just knocked it out of the park. Let's talk about the second one.
Sure, Del. The second deal is very different from the first deal. It's a little bit of an older property. They are townhomes, 11 townhomes in the Charlotte MSA. The city is called Rock Hill in South Carolina. And I used the proceeds from the refinance of my first IRO deal and redeployed that about 3 months after the refinance and purchased this second deal. It is a yield play, in contrast to the first IRO deal, which is a more of a value play. So less deferred maintenance and very strong rents on takeover. Previous owner had bumped rents from about $600 a door to $1,100 a door through his interior renovations. I was looking again for immediate income. So I liked the deal that it was going to throw off, conservatively speaking, about 7.5 to 8%, and it's been doing better than that, looking more like 11% by year end. I purchased this last December. Rents are up about 5% since takeover, and we are still below market rate. So upon renewals, and you know, depending on who the resident is and their payment history, I mean, we could really push rents another 125 to 150 a door with very little make ready cost. So it's very exciting. We're still early on in the life of this deal, but it's a great opportunity, and I see it producing well. Not as well as the first one that I did. I don't expect a 300% return, but this is a very hot market, great location, lots of jobs in the area, population growth, and certainly rent growth.
Well, go back to this situation here that you took the money from the first deal and refinanced, pulled out the 250 and bought this with that 250. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I did. So, although because the deal was a little bit bigger in size and there was a liquidity gap, I did go in the deal with a partner who's a limited equity stake in the deal. So there's just one other partner here, but I'm running it. So far, it's been doing very well.
So this is really interesting to me because what I'm seeing in you is the same thing that happened with myself. It happened with David Fisher, if you ever talked to him about this. We all started buying these really small apartment complexes, and they're really just groups of duplexes and fourplexes in most cases. Sometimes it could be a small apartment. And these little small projects, they double in value over periods of time, and they end up feeding our ability to go and buy more. And so you just keep using the same money over and over again. What's not understood, you know, you say, okay, well, we got this apartment, now we got this apartment, now we got these houses, now we got this other deals. What's not understood is what that's doing to your net worth. An interesting note here, you have stated here in 2020, last year, December last year, you realized you had doubled your net worth?
That is correct. And a lot of that doubling is through, you know, the value of property, my first IRO deal, increasing, you know, the equity in that and value in that property, as well as some of the passive deals that I'm in have refinanced. Two of them have refinanced. One has sold. So now I'm seeing, you know, exponentially how the money grows. And as I use those proceeds and continue to buy more real estate with it, it's just going to increase my net worth further.
So that doubling of your net worth in the first 3 years, the statement was you had done that by 2020. That doesn't include the sale of this last property, right? The extra $900,000?
No, it doesn't include that. And I think by the time that closes, it's going to be close to tripling net worth in 3.5 to 4 years from the first investment, which is mind-boggling. But this is what happens when, instead of leaving, you know, the bulk of your money in a savings account or a 401k and watching, you know, speculative investments go up and down every day and you have no control over it, versus actually taking control of the money and using it to buy an asset that produces income for you where you have total control over it. And it's like night and day. Unfortunately, the majority of people don't understand it, but once you get your head around it, it's life-changing.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm just sitting here playing games in my head, and the reason I am, and I haven't let the audience in on this yet, I guess it's time to take the rabbit out from the hat. How old are you?
I'm 43 years old.
So you started doing this right around 40. Three years later, you've tripled your net worth.
Yes.
What happens from age 43 to age 46? And then what happens from 46 to 50? And then what happens from 50 to 55? And then what happens from 55 to 60? And then what happens by the time you're 65? If you double that on a calculator, you're going to be up there in the somewhere between $50 and $100 million range because you started so young. That's an amazing story, man. Amazing story.
Thank you.
Tell us how you see that future. Do you have a plan? I mean, because I'm just sitting here going like, you've done all this, you're only 43. I'm thinking, man, what can this guy accomplish? You could hit the moon. What's your plan right now, Gerard?
My plan, Dell, is to stay as an IRO. I've been asked by many members if I plan on becoming a lead, but I like what I'm doing right now with terms of using my own capital, time, and risk for myself and for my family, that will be part of the legacy. You know, short-term goals for me is to achieve $10,000 a month in passive income. I'm getting close to it, and that should be achieved once I take the proceeds from the sale of my first IRO deal and deploy that into number three. So when it comes to longer-term goals, by the time I turn age 48 or 50, I'd like to own 100 doors as an IRO. You know, it could be two or three properties, but scale up a little bit. And have, you know, 100 is a nice number to have, just like, you know, 10,000 a month passive income is a pretty large goal. But like you said, the sky's the limit. I mean, I see myself doing this for another 25 to 30 years or so, and I'd love to teach my kids once they become more interested in learning this as well. And one thing I wanted to mention is I actually took the money from their bank accounts and just exhausted it and took their capital, put it into the 11-unit deal in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So they're getting cash flow from monthly distributions, you know, at this 10 or 11% rate. So they're getting mailbox money, and my kids are 11 and 8 years old. So try to teach them young, but, you know, this is going to be different compared to their peers, because I'm sure their peers are not getting this type of cash flow.
You know, I just pictured something. I just pictured a mean father forcing his kids to go out to the mailbox to pull out their own check. Go get your check. You got a deposit. Teach them young, man. Teach them young. That's great. This has been a great, great, great story. You made great accomplishments on this. I think that you are underestimating what you can do, though. And I'm just going to tell you that just as a friendly conversation with you, because I think what happens is when you start small, you don't realize the exponentiality of things. And, you know, you double it and triple it. Now you tripled it. What happens is, can it triple again? Yes, it can. And that number just becomes ridiculous. You know, so you got a million, you double, it's 2 million, you double it again, it's 4 million, you double it again, it's 8 million, you double it again, it's 16 million. It doesn't grow one and then two. And then three, and then four. It just doesn't grow that way. It grows every time you make a move from one project to the next. So you made 100 to 150 to 200% return on this deal. The one you got right now, a couple of years from now, you'll get 100% return, 200% return. You know, your net worth will double again. It's going to happen. It always does. And I say always, that's 99% of the time. Okay, there are some deals people bought that are not the greatest deals in the world, or they're not very good at operating them. But other than that, most people in these deals, this stuff is pretty forgiving and moving through it like that. We're going to go to a break here. When we come back, what I want to talk to you about is really the socialization of all this for you. What has it done to your life? How has your life changed now that you're no longer punching a clock for the man and you're out there just living your life? We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Gerard Bolster and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Gerard Bolster out of Cary, North Carolina. Gerard's story is great. Tripled his net worth in 3 years, and we're now going to be talking to him about what's his life like now that he no longer has to get up and go to work every day. What year did you retire or completely give up working for corporate America?
2017, Del. That was the year that I moved to North Carolina. And when I moved here, I never went back to work. I think I only had one interview. And like I mentioned, once I went to the 2 day, there was really no looking back. I knew I was going to join Lifestyles after that event. It took me about 1 or 2 months. You know, for me, it was a sabbatical. I needed to clear my head, take the summer off, and just reevaluate my life and my career path going forward. And now it's just unbelievable. I mean, I no longer have to wake up to an alarm clock or do that hectic commute every day. I, you know, have the opportunity to take my kids and drop them off at school and spend time with them in the morning. Just completely different than the old way of life.
Now, you haven't mentioned anything about your wife. Does she work?
She doesn't work right now. She was working before COVID took over this country, and she opted to stop working at that point because she was in a preschool, and you know what it's like with little kids and how they get sick very often. So she decided that it would be in her best interest to not work. She did pick up part-time work right after we moved in the same type of space, which was great because just even her part-time income was helpful while I was not working. And I was, you know, learning the education through the Lifestyles learning platforms. So she's been great and very supportive throughout this entire process. You know, she is CASA certified, and she helps me out with my business whenever needed. Has a great eye for design and just really an awesome partner.
All right, so let's talk about other family members. I mean, I don't know what your family dynamics are like on either her side or your side, but hey, you're 40 years old, you quit your job, and you got two kids. What are you doing? Are you insane?
Yeah, basically that was everyone's thought when I made this move and then didn't go back to work and joined Lifestyles and started taking my money from my retirement accounts and started deploying it in real estate. Hey, this guy must be crazy. But again, I don't get questions from anyone like, how did you do this? You know, no one questions anything. They just go about their daily lives and keep doing what they've been doing. And so they're just going to keep getting what they're getting and really not get ahead because, you know, when you become comfortable like that, it's, and you're doing what everybody else does, you're going to get that same result, which is not much.
So you left town, so you don't really have any work acquaintances. Did you ever get back with any of those guys? They ever ask what happened to you?
Sometimes. Yeah, you know, I do talk to them, and they're just completely shocked and really happy for me that things are working out because, you know, with so many unknown factors leaving a job like that, and just, you know, the first couple of years, you really have to plant the seed with getting these investments started. I'm sure they thought that, you know, he's probably going to have to go out and find a job. He's going to need some sort of income to support his lifestyle. But I've been able to make it work. And I don't know if they know I'm making 300% return on this first deal. But when they do find out, I'm sure that, you know, they would be impressed and hopefully want to learn more because, you know, I've told them in the past that I wouldn't trade being a real estate investor or professional for anything in the world now that I know how it works.
What do you think your success is tied to? Because you have, you know, this is a real, what I would call success story. You know, this is a big one. Just the whole way you did it. I mean, you just quit. It's, you know, I had a job. I bought houses. I kept buying houses until I could replace my job income with my house rental income. You just quit. I mean, this is an incredible story, Gerard. So what do you think is your secret behind your success?
Definitely hard work and determination, but I think the biggest factor is time. So because I was not working for anyone else after I moved to North Carolina, I had an entire day to, you know, put together a game plan of who, what relationships I need to build, who I need to talk to, where I need to be sourcing deals from, and just really use my time to my advantage and plant those seeds. And I've got a very solid real estate team around me now. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was working a job and then my time would be tied to my employer, right? I mean, you could try to do that a little bit on the side, but it's not the same thing. So I think just, you know, being able to buy back my time and having the time to do the research needed and to make, you know, build my contact list and, you know, talk to mentors and see what they advise. And just really use every resource available to me to build these businesses.
Last question. We have this statement that we came up with a couple years ago. I came up with it. It was live where you want, buy where you need to. Since then, we're in every state in the country, and we're building pockets of people in different areas. Is there a pocket of people developing in the Carolinas area?
It is growing. There are, as far as I know, small, maybe 5 to 6 members, you know, among aspiring leads, IROs, and passive investors. There's not been a presence in terms of live meetups here. When I do go to events, the closest one for me right now would be Charlotte, but mostly Atlanta. There's a very big presence there, and I enjoy those meetups. We could have anywhere between 60 to 100 people show up for road trips or case studies in the Atlanta area. But we are starting to see a larger presence in North Carolina, and the nice thing about North Carolina is that the market is not saturated like you see in Texas where these deals have been picked over.
Right.
There's lots of opportunity that is ripe here. And I'm excited for what the future holds.
I want to thank you for coming on before they kick us off the back end of the show here. I appreciate you coming and telling your story, and congratulations on a really incredible story. And maybe you think about being an ambassador for out there, because we do have some of our Lifestyles employees that are living out there now. So look forward to seeing your growth. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just for the money. It's for the lifestyle. That's why we do it. The Lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.